You know what today is?
Today is the day.
Today is the day. Let's stand together. We're going to sing. Today is the day.
I'm casting my cares aside. I'm leaving my past behind. Setting my heart and mind on you, Jesus. I'm reaching my hand to yours, believing there's so much more. Knowing that all you have in store for me is good, is good. Today is the day you have made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. You have made, I will rejoice and be glad in it, and I won't worry about tomorrow. I'm trusting in what you say. Today is the day, today is the day. I'm putting my fears aside, I'm leaving my doubts behind. My hopes and dreams to you, Jesus. I'm reaching my hand to yours, believing there's so much more. Knowing that all you have in store for me, it's good, it's good. Today is the day you have made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Today is the day you have made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. And I won't worry about tomorrow. I'm trusting in what you say. Today is the day. Today is the day. And I will stand upon your truth.
And I will stand upon your truth.
And all my days I'll live for you.
And all my days I'll live for you.
And I will stand upon your truth.
And I will stand upon your truth.
And all my days I'll live for you.
And all my days I'll live.
Today is the day you have made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Today is the day you have made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. And I won't worry about tomorrow. I'm giving you my tears and sorrow. When you leave me, I will follow. I'm trusting in what you say. Today is the day. Today is the day that the Lord has made. Today is the day.
Good morning, 12th Street. You may be seated. Today is the day that the Lord has made. And I am glad that you're here with us this morning. There are many things to celebrate on a weekend like this, right? We meet here with freedom, and that's a wonderful thing. And our choir is going to do a really nice tribute to the freedoms that we have here in America. But before we have that and get into those things, I would like to say a personal and for and behalf of the church family, thank you to all of those who served in the armed services. If you served in a military branch, we would like to say thank you to you. So if you could just stand up. Thank you for your service. And your service allows us here to meet with the freedoms that we have. And we do appreciate that. Well, in your bulletin, there are several announcements. In 2 weeks, the youth will be heading out to go to Detroit for Life Changers. And make sure you keep them in prayer. on the 16th, before they head out, we're going to circle up here in the auditorium. I believe they leave right around 10 o'clock in the morning. And so we're going to circle up here at 10 o'clock in the morning and just pray for them as they head out on their journey to Detroit for Life Changers. And then also we have Vacation Bible School coming up. And that starts on July 10th. If you haven't signed up for the meals yet and you'd like to come, it's a lot better than running through McDonald's. The price is better, too. I mean, families eat for $30 for the week, $20 for a couple. And so make sure that you can see Michelle Roberts or Brooke Camp to make sure that you're signed up for those things. And VBS is going to be a great week. Also, the church camping trip is coming up. And if you would like to participate in that, you go to Fort Custer, see what sites they have available on August 11th through 13th. And it's a great time of fellowship and fun. And we have Dave and Carolyn Fagley are headed off to Uganda. And they're leaving in just a couple weeks. And while I'm not going to be here before they leave. And so this morning, we want to bring them up and ask them, come on up, Dave and Carolyn. We're going to pray for them as a church. This is a really exciting opportunity. God has called them to join with the Allen family, Todd Allen and his family, and they have an orphanage there. There's a lot of other work that they have going on, but one of the big things they have during this trip is some medical work that's being done. And you guys have a few things that the church has given you, medical,
a lot.
And so those are very much appreciated, and I know Carolyn talked to me about it this last week that it's just overwhelming how much stuff. In fact, some of the stuff had to be given back. It was too nice. They didn't have that nice equipment to work with some of the stuff that was given. But you are part of this trip. We are part of this trip, 12th Street. And they're just representing all of us. And so as we go to the Lord together in prayer this morning, we're gonna especially pray for Dave and Carolyn. So we're going to do this just a little bit different. Instead of going right to meet and greet, I'm just going to ask you, if you would like to, as I do the opening prayer, to come on up and lay hands on Dave and Carolyn. We're going to pray over them as that God will give them safety and use them in a great way. And then also, when we're done with that prayer, we'll just go right into our meet and greet. So if you'd like to pray with them by laying hands on them, feel free to join us down front. If you'd like to stay where you're at, no problem, stay where you're at. But let's go ahead and let's enter a time of prayer. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, I thank you for Dave and Carolyn as they are embarking on a wonderful adventure. And Lord, as they've actually been on this journey for quite a while now in their preparations, I thank you that the time is drawing very near for them to realize this dream that you've given to them and to go and to serve you. And Lord, as they travel, we pray that they would have no difficulties with their flights, that customs would not cause them any problems either. And all of those supplies that they're bringing, that Lord, that they would all make it through and be a great blessing to the people in Uganda. And Lord, as they serve you, I just ask that you would fill them with energy, with strength. I pray that you would give them wisdom. Lord, give Carolyn extra graces as she educates the people there on keeping things sterile and on cleanliness and helping to prevent the spread of infection and disease. And then also, Lord, as she gets to help with some of the pre and post-op, I pray that she would have great wisdom there as well, that you would use her in a mighty way. And Lord, as Dave uses his hands, the skills that you've given to him in building and the mind that you've given to him to think things through, and Lord, as he serves you working on the facilities there. We just pray, Lord, that you would use him in a mighty way. I pray that his conversations that he has with the people and the just the work ethic that he shows, that, Lord, it would be a great example of what you want him to be. And, Lord, I just ask that you would fill them with so many blessings and so many great stories that when they get back, that there would be so much that they could hardly even contain the great things that you do. And so we just ask that you would once again use them in a mighty way. And Lord, with it being July 4th weekend, we do thank you for a country that we live in where we have the freedoms to leave here and go to other countries and spread the gospel, which we're freely shared with here. I thank you, Lord, that as a church, we meet here and we celebrate Jesus, and we have a country where we still say, "In God we trust." And so, Lord, we are one nation under God, and we thank you that today we can celebrate you and celebrate our freedoms. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Go ahead and greet those around you. How are you doing?
Good to see you. How are you doing?
I enjoyed your piano playing today.
Oh, thank you so much. Thank you for the opportunity. Have a good trip.
Thank you. All right, if we could find our seats, and if the deacons could come up here. If the deacons could make their way to the front to help serve communion. Scriptures tell us that the Son will make you free. And if he makes you free, then you are free indeed. And that's it's a wonderful thought that there is freedom, not just in a nation does it really provide the freedom. Jesus Christ provides freedom. And it was his wonderful gift on the cross, that his shed blood, that gives us the opportunity to boldly enter the throne of grace. And so this morning, if you've trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, we invite you to take communion. But before you do, examine yourself. David said this. He said, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me into the ways that are everlasting." And that's what our prayer should be as we go to communion. If you have something in your life that you're not dealing with before God, then right now is the time to just deal with it. Confess your sin. Forsake it. Scripture says you'll have mercy. And so as we go to communion this morning, I want to encourage you to just think about what your Lord has done for you. If you've never trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, these elements will not bring you any favor with God. And so I would encourage you to just pass them by. Instead, think about what we are remembering right now. Jesus Christ died on the cross. He shed his blood so that you could be forgiven for your sin. And he makes it so simple. He says, "I give a gift." It's the gift of life. If you receive that gift, he gives you eternal life. And so you say, "Well, how do I receive it?" Well, the scriptures, again, make it very simple. If we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our heart that God has raised Jesus from the dead, then we will be saved. For with the heart, man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. Whoever will call on the name of the Lord will be saved. Don, could you ask a blessing on the bread? There are two cups, make sure you get both cups that are stacked on top of each other. Jesus took the bread and he broke it. He told the disciples to remember his broken body. He said, "Take, eat in remembrance of me." Bo, could you ask a blessing? Or Cole, could you ask a blessing on the fruit of the vine? Jesus took the cup, He said, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." When Jesus and his disciples had the Lord's Supper together, they sang some songs together when they finished. And so we're going to sing This is Amazing Grace and Amazing Grace, My Chains Are Gone. Let's all stand together as we sing.
This is amazing grace. This is unfailing love. That you would take my place. That you would bear my cross. You'd lay down your life. That I would be set free. Jesus, I sing for all that you've done for me. Who brings our chaos back into order? Who makes the orphan a son and daughter? I sing for all that you've done for me. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Amazing grace. This is unfailing love. That you would take my place. That you would bear my cross. You'd lay down your life. me.
Come forward, please.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much for your amazing grace and how you love us and you meet our needs and you take care of us, Lord. Father, we just ask that you'll be with us this morning as we give back a portion that you've given to us. We ask that you just be with each gift and each giver. And we pray this now in your Son's precious and holy name. Amen.
Several centuries ago, a nation dedicated to the principles that guided our founders was merely a dream. However, it was a dream whose time had come. It was the destiny of the human spirit to one day arrive at the conclusion that all of us are created equal, and that certain truths are indeed self-evident, that all mankind is endowed by our Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Once that truth took root in the hearts and minds of freedom's pioneers, the world was on the threshold of a mighty wind of change. Once the bell of liberty sounded, it could never be silenced. For those who were willing to make the journey, to leave behind friends and family and all that was familiar, to give whatever was required, a new beginning and a new world awaited them. For those who were brave enough to be free, a new life had begun. They had found a place where liberty and justice for all was not a cliche, it was a creed. They came and staked their claim. They came knowing that freedom does not come without great cost. They came making this nation their own, living with the brave and the free, living in the homeland.
Dare to dream, dare to dream of living in the homeland.
Thank you, choir. Thank you, Paul, for choosing that. What a great song to remember for our nation's birthday. Well, at this time, the children may be dismissed to children's church. And while they're heading out, one more announcement. The church will be closed Monday and Tuesday for observance of July 4th, so for Independence Day. So just keep that in mind. Let's take our Bibles and turn to Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3. While you're turning there, I got a question for you. What excuse did Adam give to his children as to why he no longer lived in Eden? Mom ate us out of house and home.
Amen.
What kind of motor vehicle do you find in Genesis? Well, Jehovah drove Adam and Eve out of the garden in a fury. And why did God create Adam first? Give him a chance to talk. Genesis chapter 3 and verse 1. Lynn liked all of them until they got to... No. Genesis chapter 3 and verse 1. Says, "Now, the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, 'Yes, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden?' And the woman said unto the serpent, 'We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die.' And the serpent said unto the woman, 'Ye shall not surely die, for God does know that in the day that you eat thereof, then your eyes will be opened, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil.' And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together, and made themselves aprons." Now, what we have here is an account of Adam and Eve, and when they fell in disobedience to God in the Garden of Eden. The first character we see in this drama as it plays out is the serpent. Okay? Now, the serpent is described as more subtle than any beast of the field. In fact, Jesus himself, as he preaches, he'll tell his disciples, "Be wise as serpents." So the serpent, the idea of the serpent, and knowing a little bit about a serpent, and especially traditionally as they viewed a serpent in their culture, they would see a serpent as a subtle or wise creature. But now, it's not the animal that tempted Eve. In Revelation, the devil is described as the serpent. He is described as the dragon. It's all put together in Revelation chapter 12. You'll see that he's called the serpent, the dragon, the devil. And so we understand that it's not just an animal that's tempting Eve. It is Satan in the form of a serpent that tempts Eve. Now, it's funny when Eve is asked, "Can't you eat of all the trees of the garden?" She says, "Yes, we can eat of all the trees." We saw that last week as we looked at the creation of man. God put a whole bunch of trees in the garden, and they could eat from any of them but one. God never said, "Don't touch it." He just said, "Don't eat from it." Now, when God gave the command, he gave it to Adam, and I'm just wondering if when God told Adam, "Don't eat from the tree," that Adam looked at Eve and goes, "Yeah, Eve, don't even touch it." Okay? Now, is it wrong for Eve to say, "Yeah, we shouldn't even touch it"? Well, if you don't touch it, you can't eat it, right? It's a good principle. But did God say that? No, it wasn't what God said to her. Sometimes in our efforts to help people along in their lives and their faith, sometimes we'll say, God says this, and we'll say something that God actually says, and then we'll take it a step further when God didn't actually say the next part, right? An example of this could be like, somebody could say, God says that we should take care of our bodies. God says that, right? Because our body is a temple of the Holy Ghost who is in us, and we should take care of our bodies. And then they could say, so you can never eat Twinkies. Now, you could say that, but did God say you can't eat Twinkies? No, you just took it a step further. And when we do that, we start even to confuse the truth for ourselves. Because all Satan had to do with Eve was to get her to question what God said. And as soon as she began to question what God said, she started to think in her mind, I want to know my truth. Not the truth that God had stated. God said that the day that you eat of this tree, you will die. But the serpent told Eve, you won't die. Now there's two kinds of death that are appropriate to the situation. The first kind of death is physical death. Adam and Eve were built to live. They weren't built to die. Physical death is a result of disobedience to God. But it wasn't just physical death that God was talking about, because when Eve ate from that tree, she didn't keel over dead. She ate it and she's still alive. In fact, she hands it to Adam. He eats, and physically, he was still alive. So the second kind of death that's talked about here is the spiritual death. That's the death that took place immediately. As soon as Adam and Eve ate from that tree, they were spiritually dead. Now here's the other thing that the serpent told Eve. Your eyes will be opened and you will be as gods, knowing good and evil. Look down, let's cheat a little bit. Let's look down at verse 22. Verse 22. And the Lord God said, behold, the man has become as one of us to know good and evil. Now, does that mean that they became a god there? No, they didn't become a god there. They just, mankind became like God in the fact that God knew good and evil. God did not create humanity to know good or to know evil. In his creation of man, he created us to be innocent. No knowledge of good, no knowledge of evil. When they ate from it, God says, oh no, they ate from it. Now they have a knowledge of good and evil. They're like us in that sense. They weren't like God in the sense of being God, and we'll get to that in a few minutes here. So let's keep reading here in chapter 3, and let's read in verse 7. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said to him, where are you? And he said, I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. And God said, who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten of the tree where I commanded you that you should not eat? And the man said, the woman that you gave to me, she gave me of the tree and I ate it. And the Lord God said to the woman, what is this that you have done? And the woman said, the serpent tricked me and I did eat. And the Lord God said to the serpent, because you have done this, You are cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon your belly you will go, and dust shall you eat all the days of your life. And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. It shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply your sorrow and your conception. In sorrow you will bring forth children, and your desire shall be to your husband, and he shall rule over you. And unto Adam he said, because you have listened to the voice of your wife, and have eaten of the tree of which I commanded you, saying, you shall not eat of it, cursed is the ground for your sake. In sorrow shall you eat of it all the days of your life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to you, and you shall eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of your face shall you eat bread until you return to the ground. For out of it you were taken, for dust you are, and unto dust shall you return. And Adam called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living. Unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothed them. And the Lord God said, behold, the man is become as one of us to know good and evil. And now, lest he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever. Therefore the Lord God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from where he was taken. So he drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword, which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. Here in Genesis 3, we see the loss of several things. The first thing that we see is a loss of innocence in verse 11, in verse 21, in verse 22. In fact, in verse 8, we see the first sign of the loss of innocence. They eat from the tree. They discover that they're naked. The loss of innocence. They didn't, before they ate from the tree, they were naked and they were not ashamed. They ate from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and now they have shame in being naked and they hide themselves. And so we see here that one of the signs of losing their innocence was they hid from God. Before that, there was never a reason to hide from God. Now, can we really hide from God? That's such a foolish notion. It's like when I was growing up, my dad told us, don't shoot the basketball at the house, toward the house. You can shoot it straight on, you could shoot it away from the house, but don't shoot it toward the house, because if you miss, it could hit a window and break it. And so I was shooting the ball, and my brother looks at me and goes, you're shooting it toward the house. And I'm like, you think I'm going to miss? And sure enough, I missed. And the ball bounced and shattered a window. And right about that time, guess whose car pulls into the driveway? Dad. I mean, it's like impeccable timing. So I run into the house, and I hide under my bed. Okay, my fellowship with God was broken. I hid. Why did I hide? Because I did wrong. So I'm hiding under my bed, and I hear the footsteps. I hear the door open. My dad looks under the bed. Thaddeus, what are you doing? Taking a nap. He gets me out, and he says, did you break that window? Oh, I'm so sorry, Dad. He put his arms around me and he said, I know it was a mistake. I forgive you. You see, with God, when we realize our sin and we say, I'm sorry, you know what God does? He forgives. It's such a beautiful progression of events. The only time that God chastens is when we don't repent. The only time God has to chase us down is when we hide and refuse to ask for forgiveness. But when we ask for forgiveness, God is faithful and just. He forgives our sin, and he cleanses us from all unrighteousness. And with Adam hides. What's kind of funny about this, too, is that no one had to teach Adam what to do to be wrong now. That sin nature, as soon as it kicked in into him, it created a separation that was immediate and severe. He hid from God. And God had never done anything to Adam to show that Adam needed to hide. His sin nature that is brand new developed in him because he sinned has caused division between him and God. In verse 11, they know that they're naked. Before that, they didn't know they were naked. They lost their innocence. In verse 21, here's what God does. He makes clothes out of animal skins. Before that, they made aprons out of fig leaves, and you know, they just don't hold together very well. Here's what we see in this, that when God makes skins for them, clothing for them out of animal skin, well, in order to get the animal skin, guess what has to happen to the animal? Sacrifice. It has to die. There's a blood sacrifice that takes place. When we get to the next chapter, we're going to see that Adam and Eve had passed down to their children the idea of sacrifice. They are sacrificing to God, and God only accepted the blood sacrifice through the animal because that was the example that he gave to Adam and Eve. Why give them that example? Well, the animal sacrifice was painting a picture. It put a beautiful portrait up for Adam and Eve to understand that there would be a blood sacrifice given for their sin. That someday the Messiah would come and offer a perfect sacrifice. Did they understand all the ins and outs of it? No. They understood that there must be blood sacrifice. And God offered that first sacrifice for them when he gave them clothing. Here's what the clothing did. It shielded them from their nakedness. When we stand before God as sinners, Jesus Christ clothes us in his righteousness. We no longer stand ashamed before God. When Jesus Christ clothes us in his righteousness, we now stand in confidence before God. In verse 22, in losing their innocence, they knew good and evil. What would this world be like if we didn't know evil? It'd be a wonderful place, right? But Eve wanted to know good, and she wanted to know evil. One of the things that some Christians do is they try to educate themselves in the evils that are around them. Well, I need to watch that movie to see how bad it really is. Or I need to look at these lyrics to these words or listen to these things so that I know how bad it really is. No, we need to be innocent when it comes to evil. In fact, in Romans chapter 16 and verse 19, we're implored, be excellent at things that are good and be innocent of those things which are evil. The second thing we see in this passage is that there was a lack of accountability. So we have the first instance of passing the buck. God says, Adam, why did you eat from the tree? And what does he immediately do? The woman, her fault. And as soon as God confronts the woman, I was tricked by the snake. The snake had nobody to go to. There's nobody on the other side. And so you know what God does? He doesn't even argue with them. He just says, okay, serpent, you're cursed above all the beasts of the field. Eve, pain in childbirth. And all you ladies, you just want to punch Eve, right? I mean, come on, Eve. And then also, God says to Eve, because of this, you will serve your husband. He will be over you. In 1 Timothy, we see that as Paul talks to the church, he says, listen, ladies, You are not to be taking authority over the man. Why not? Why not take the authority over the man? Was it a cultural thing? Or no, it was because man was created first and then the woman. And it was not the man who was deceived, but the woman that was deceived. And that's why women were to keep silence when it came to teaching matters in the church. And so that principle carries from the Old Testament into the New Testament. Also in Ephesians chapter 5, we see that in the home, God has created a structure in the home. And how is that structure? Well, Jesus Christ is the head, but then it's the husband who heads the home. And then the woman who's in submission. And why is it that way? It's that way because of what happened with Adam and Eve. And even though she tried to pass the buck, God held her accountable. Just like we can't undo what Adam and Eve did in the garden, we also can't undo the consequences for what they did. And I know that there's a movement where people say, well, the woman should not still have to be held accountable for what Eve did. We should be set free from that. And you know what? That's a wonderful thought. But mankind is still responsible for what Adam and Eve did. We're all still born as sinners. We all still need a blood sacrifice for our sin. And there's no other way that we can live than under those parameters. We are born in sin because of what Adam and Eve did. And there are consequences for what Adam and Eve did. Separation from God. We are all separated from God because of our sin. And so, women who say, I don't like this, I shouldn't be held accountable for what Eve did, well, we're all accountable for what they did. The next thing we see here is that there's in verse 14, a loss of perfection. In verses 14 and 15, we have the enmity of seeds. So there's a conflict between the seed of the serpent and the seed of the woman. Now, the seed of the woman takes form in the person of Jesus. He is the seed of the woman who brings a remedy to what the seed of the serpent has brought. In John chapter 6, Jesus has an interesting conversation with the Pharisees, with the religious leaders, and with the Jews. He says to them, you are of your father, the devil, because he lied from the beginning, and you are like your father. And so Jesus talks about a passing on of a lineage. The seed of the serpent can be found in all who deny Jesus Christ. The seed of the woman is effective for all who put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Those two seeds will always be at odds. But you know which seed wins? The seed of Jesus Christ. And so believe in Jesus. He is your salvation. In verse 16, we see the pain in childbirth and the woman being subject to her husband. That's part of the loss of perfection. Okay? Originally, it wouldn't have been that way. But because of the choice that they made, there is a loss of perfection. In verses 17 and 18, thorns and weeds and a cursed ground are part of the result of the fall of mankind. Again, the loss of perfection. I mean, how many of you would just think, how many years of your life would be spent doing something fun rather than pulling weeds, right? And those are part of the curse. It's part of mankind losing the perfection that God had created. And then in verse 19, hard work for food for a lifetime. That's part of the loss of perfection. Mankind having to work hard for their food. See, before that, a mist came up from the ground and there weren't any weeds. You just went and you just picked the fruit. Now, hard work is involved. As I was thinking about this idea of hard work, Unbelievably, there are some people in this world that don't have any idea about hard work. There are some people that they don't even know what work is. And that was not God's design. God's design was for Adam and Eve to take care of the garden. So there was work involved. Was it going to be hard work, laborious? No, it was just going to be, it would have been perfect work. Great kind of work. With the fall, with the loss of perfection, now there is the idea of hard work. This past week, I would preach in the morning, and then I would come and work here at the church during the day, and then I'd go back to camp, and I'd preach in the evening. And usually when I got back to camp, I had a few minutes before chapel started, and or in the morning, I slept over there at camp, and so I'd wake up and eat breakfast and talk with people. And it was funny, because a lot of my conversations, I had to stop the conversation and go, I need to go make balloons for chapel, because I always make animal balloons for the kids for chapel. And this happened two or three times, and one of the guys that I was with looked at me and he goes, wow, it's a rough life when the most pressing thing on your plate is to make animal balloons. You know, and it really got me thinking. The most important thing in that moment was making an animal balloon, or 16 of them, one for each cabin. And why was that the most pressing thing? Because it was the next thing that God had impressed upon me. Because then when I finished the animal balloons, I ran a counselor meeting and did a devotion with them. And then when I finished the counselor meeting, I preached to the kids at camp. Preaching wasn't the most important thing on my agenda until it was the next thing on my agenda. So you moms, you get that dirty diaper. And you think, oh my goodness. It's not a waste of time. It's the most pressing, important thing on your agenda at that time. And before you can get to the next thing that is important, that's what God has for you. And so do your best. Clean butt, happy child. Happy child, productive work. Rachel was telling me this week that she was prepping out meals for our trip that we're getting ready to take. And as she was prepping out meals, it was the next thing in front of her. And she just had a great time doing it, worshiping God while she did it. Prepping meals, worshiping God. What a novel thing. Because when the meals are prepped out, when it's time to eat, it's not going to be nearly as much work. And see, we have to start looking at life this way. So many times life, it just happens to people. They don't work to prepare. And so life happens to them, and everything is difficult, and everything is hard. Yep, things being hard, it's part of the curse, part of the loss of perfection. But you know what? God has gifted us with this moment. The most important thing you have going on today on Sunday is right now listening to what God has and then responding to it. Whatever comes next is next. That's not more important. This, in this moment, is the important moment. The next moment, it'll take care of itself when you get there. That's why Jesus said, don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow, it's got enough trouble of its own. I think that as people, because of all of the busyness of life, we get to a place where we don't spend our energy in the moment. We fret about what we did in the past. We worry about what's going to happen in the future. And we don't just get things taken care of right now. You know, Eve, when she was standing at the tree and the serpent started to speak to her, first of all, she probably shouldn't have been standing next to that tree, right? There's a lot of trees. But in that moment, if she wouldn't have thought, oh, wow, I want to be like God. I want to know good. And if she didn't worry about what I could be doing in the future, if she would have understood what was necessary in that moment, she should have moved on to another tree. In that moment, if she would have just been in that moment, taking care of business in that moment, she would have done right. But she thought about, wow, what could be? And she lost sight of what God wanted. So I want to encourage you, take every moment and get the most out of it for the Lord. So then we see in verse 20, Adam calls his wife Eve. She's the mother of all living. In verse 21, we have the sacrifice that God made so that Adam and Eve could be clothed. And then verse 23, the Lord kicked man, Adam and Eve, from the Garden of Eden, kicked them out. And when he did that, he put a cherubim, an angel, with a flaming sword. And the flaming sword covered all directions. You can't sneak in. And man had a complete loss of perfection. As we think about this, Adam and Eve did become wise, knowing good and evil. And in that, that was the only sense that they became like a god. The scope of their being like gods ended as their Lord God kicked them out of the garden. They could not, and they would not, enjoy the Garden of Eden in the fullness of fellowship with God in perfection anymore. They had forfeited life, and they were banished from the emblem that God had made for them, the tree of life. What's funny is they ate from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and they never ate from the tree of life. And you know what? We make those choices all the time. We don't choose the way of life. We choose the way of death. And that separation that Adam and Eve created continues till now. But just as God provided a real and living sacrifice for Adam and Eve's nakedness, today God provides a real sacrifice through the person of Jesus Christ. And that's why taking communion this morning is such a beautiful thing. We're able to remember what Christ did to clothe us, shield us from our own nakedness, and allow us to see what life is like, clothed in the righteousness of Jesus. His real sacrifice on the cross. Because we are clothed in his righteousness, removes separation between us and God. So I got a question for you. Why are you hiding from God today? Or what are you hiding from God? Adam hid, but it was kind of like me under my bed. There was no hiding. God always finds us out. In fact, the scripture says, be sure your sin will find you out. And so this morning, quit hiding from God. God didn't create you to hide from him. He created you to have fellowship with him. We're going to have a responsive reading here. This is Romans chapter 5, and it describes the passage we just looked at from a New Testament point of view. And so what is in black, I'll read. What's in red, you read. So let's read this together. Romans chapter 5, it says this: for if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned.
For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law.
Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come.
Not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one, many be dead, much more the grace of God.
And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the free gift, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification.
For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more are they which receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ.
Therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so, by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. Let's stand together. Lord God, as we close out the service, I thank you that we don't have to live in separation from you. I thank you that you have given a gift. The price has been paid by Jesus Christ so that we can have forgiveness. So our sin is not held to our account, that Jesus paid it all. So Lord, if anyone here has never trusted in the Lord Jesus, I pray that right now in these moments they would come to know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Lord, if any are questioning or wonder what they can do to be saved, give them boldness and courage to just walk down to the front and shake my hand and let me know that they want to know Jesus Christ. Lord, for those who do know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, I thank you that we have this great reminder this morning that even as Adam's sin brought death to all men, the gift of Jesus Christ is freely given to justification of life unto all men. To you, Lord, be glory. Amen. Let's sing this song together.
Savior, say, thy strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray. Find in me thine all in all. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left and stain, he washed it white as snow. Lord, now indeed I find thy power and thine alone can change the leper's spots and melt the heart of stone. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, he washed it white as snow. Jesus died my soul to save, my lips shall still repeat. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, he washed it white as snow. Life up from the dead. Oh, praise.
praise the one who paid my debt and raised this life up from the dead. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, he washed it white as snow.
So as we remember the liberty that we have in Jesus Christ to be free from our sin, let's also celebrate the next couple days the liberty, the freedoms that we have in our country. And it's a wonderful thing to be a child of God in a free country. Let's not abuse the freedom we have by not sharing the gospel. That would be an abuse of our liberty. Let's use that liberty to let this world know, this country know, the people around us, that there is a Savior who can wash them clean from their sin. Let's pray together. Lord God, thank you that today we have a God who loves us. We have a sacrifice paid in full. And as we've remembered that this morning, as we've looked at what mankind did to fall from you, I thank you, God, that you have brought us back. And so as we live out this week, as we live for you, I pray that we would have every opportunity to share your truth with others, share the salvation that you have freely given to us with others. And so now unto the Lamb who sits on the throne, be glory and honor and blessing and power, both now and forever, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. The Lord bless you.